Welcome to Life Church Hurley's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy.
Man, well, good morning. So here's the deal. I agree with Brother Scotty this morning. He's over at the Mobile campus. He said he was going to preach for about 5 minutes. They were going to take communion, and then everybody was going to go to the picnic. So anybody hungry this morning? I said, anybody hungry? Before I say hungry, he was happy about the five-minute sermon. So I get it. I get it. Can y'all look around and see what God's doing? Isn't it unbelievable? It is unbelievable to see what God's doing. Yesterday, like David was saying, yesterday, like so many times in the past seven and a half years, you just stand around and you look at God's faithfulness. You see what all is being done. And without even asking anybody to do anything, it's like things just happen. Things appear. Like an AC unit just appears in the tent and everybody's grateful, right? And we just see. Amen. Yesterday, last week, we finally got the tent up. It didn't rain until we got the tent, right? So the first week, in fact, like the first day after we got the tent up, the next day it started raining after we got the tent up. So God, his faithfulness is good. But then as people were sitting, we didn't know it before, but we started realizing that water was coming in the back of the tent, right? And it was amazing because if you get a bunch of men together, they're going to figure out what to do, right? And so there was a group of men standing in the back, and one of them's going, we're going to do this. And the other one's saying, I think we could do this. And they're pointing. When men start pointing, things are about to get done, right? And so I walk to the back, and there's just people pointing everywhere. People pointing up to the sky. I don't know why, but they were just pointing everywhere. And I thought, man, they're going to get it done. And then that group of men came to me. They're like, Pastor, what do you think? I said, nah, I don't think nothing. I was like, y'all go right. Y'all got it. You've discussed, you've talked, whatever. And so we show up and someone goes, hey, we got some sand donated. Justin over here donated a whole load of sand. Justin Newman. Yeah. And so you're like, all right, we're going for the beach theme. I'm down with it. Whatever we're going to do. Somebody said, we already got the wire going across. We can do beach volleyball, after service, We're creative in the house, right? I mean, we do whatever. And then we show up and we got a big pile of sand and someone else donated a tractor. Chris McCormick donated a little tractor yesterday. And so we have sand and we have a tractor and we have a whole team of people and we have tools flying everywhere and people are donating their time. And it's all this, and nobody asked for anything. People just saw a need and they said, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. And people just showed up and equipment just showed up and trailers and sod just showed up. And then as we're spreading it out, we're like, the sand is perfect. Like it levels the ground and keeps the water out. But it's a little messy, right? And some of you women want to wear heels and you're going to wear heels no matter if we tell you not to or not. We get it. Like you're going to. And Chris McCormick comes in, he goes, you know what? We just did a job and we have a whole roll of artificial turf left over and we want to donate it. Our company wants to donate it and we think we can do the whole area. But you know what? They had to have a base layer of sand to level it all out. And so if the sand wasn't donated, then the turf wouldn't have been donated and the tractor wouldn't have been donated and the trailer, like all the things. It's like every act of faithfulness leads to someone else being faithful. And every time someone spends a few hundred dollars of their own dime and someone else goes, well, now I know what I need to do because someone else was faithful. And then that next person's faithful. And then all of a sudden you show up on Sunday morning and things are done. And you're like, oh, this is much better than it was last Sunday. Not realizing how many faithful people it took for us to be comfortable here this morning. Amen. It's good. But here's my challenge to you. Don't just watch man. Watch what God is doing. And if you keep watching what man's doing, and if you keep watching man's faithfulness, then you're going to miss what God's doing in this place. I am honored by what man does. I'm honored by your faithfulness to God. But man, God is doing it in this place. Amen. I know it's kind of cliche to say, but just throwing this out there, I will fail you. I probably have failed you before. I probably will fail you in the future. Your pastor will fail you. Your friends will fail you. Your church might fail you. Your church will probably not live up to expectations at some point, but God will always be faithful. And if you watch man, if you go, well, like pastor's doing this or the church is doing this, if you look at man, you're always going to be frustrated by man. You will always be frustrated by man's failures. Amen? But if you keep your focus on God through this whole process, if you keep your focus on God through what he's doing in your life, then you will follow God. But if you follow man, you will always be frustrated. Amen? Amen. It's amazing that even Jesus, all man, all God, that even when people started focusing on the man part of Jesus in the flesh, that they got disappointed really quick. And I want to look at a few things. First off, Jesus went to the cross and they said the man died. He was defeated. It was done. Not realizing that the God part of Jesus was dying for a reason, that he was overcoming death in the grave, and that he was actually defeating sin and he was victorious. And so if you look at the man, he's defeated, he's done. But if you look at what God was doing, it was actually a victorious. Same thing, different perspective, one looking at man, one looking at God. Amen. And so we keep our focus on what God is doing. The man part of Jesus, as he's sitting there, he's about to go to the cross. Mary comes up with this very expensive perfume. She pours it all over Jesus' feet, anoints Jesus' feet, takes her own hair and starts wiping Jesus' feet. And you know the story. Man looked at what man was doing and they looked at Jesus and they thought, man, what a waste. Look how prideful this man. This is not the Son of Man. How can the Son of God be this prideful that he would allow some woman to wipe her hair all over his feet? He's just so prideful. And so if you look at what man is doing, you'll always be disappointed. But not knowing that God was anointing his Son to go to the cross for forgiveness of sin for all man. And if you see what God is doing in that moment, then you don't get frustrated by what man's doing. You celebrate. And so when man gets frustrated, the believer celebrates what God is doing. Amen. And so sometimes we might be frustrated and we might be disappointed. We might be confused. And why are they doing that? And how come that church is doing that? And how come I have to walk a certain walk? And you might be really, really frustrated. But if you know what God is doing, then you will celebrate all the way through it. You won't be here or there, and you won't be giving up. You're saying, God put me here for a purpose. Amen. Mark chapter 6, real quick. Mark chapter 6, verse 2. It says, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Jesus began to teach, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which was given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And so they were offended at Jesus. They were astonished at what God was doing. Where did he get this wisdom? Who is this man who comes in here and speaks these things? And as long as they saw God, they were astonished at what God was doing. But the moment that they saw man, they became frustrated and walked away from Jesus. The moment that they said, isn't this Mary's son? They walked away from Jesus. As long as they saw God, they were confident, astonished, amazed, drawn in. They wanted to hear more. And then somebody goes, whoa, 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 whoa. This is Mary's son. And everybody goes, what? Mary's son? The same Mary, the carpenter, Mary's son? And they walked away from Jesus. Jesus enters into Jerusalem, and the crowd is saying, "Who is this? Who is this?" Look at this. Matthew chapter 21, verse 6 says, "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt." This is why we celebrate today, by the way, Palm Sunday. "And they set Jesus on the colt, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" What a victorious moment that was for Jesus. And this, by the way, is right before Judas betrays Jesus. This is right before Peter denies Jesus. And as he's being led to the cross, it says, Jesus prophesied, and he said, "All my disciples will be scattered." And you know what? That's exactly what happened. So as long as they saw him as God, they celebrated. But the moment they saw him as man, weak, going to the cross, dying, they left. They were frustrated. They thought he was pitiful. Amen. Now I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. And in just a minute, we're going to take communion. But I want you to see this. It says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know that the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. And two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known that the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Jesus is coming back. Amen. Amen. But there's a simple message. He says this. He says, "Watch God. Watch. Watch." Amen, church. Watch. What did he say? Watch who? God. Watch God. The moral of the story is Jesus is saying, you're going to be seeing each other. You're going to be marrying and having fun and going out and doing your thing and just having a blast. And right up until the day that God comes back, and then you're going to be like, "But I didn't know you were coming." He said, "But I told you to be watching for the day that I come back. I told you to be standing out in the yard and saying, 'My God's coming back one day. He's coming back soon. I know he is.' And it's great to marry, and it's great to get a job, and it's great to do all the good things and be out on the river and do all the things. It's great in the context that we're watching what God is doing." Church, we are watching what God is doing. Let me ask you this. Do you know what God's doing? Do you know what God's doing in your life? Have you been watching what God is doing in your life? Anybody blessed in this house? Amen. No. Blessed by what? Blessed by who? If somebody came and stuck $100 in your hand, you go, "Oh man, so-and-so blessed me so much." Who did? God blessed you. We know where our money comes from. We know where our time comes from. We know where our breath comes from, because we watch God. And so when someone goes, "Oh man, you're so blessed," you'll be like, "My God has done it all." right? Now check this out, the Lord's Supper, Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 26. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said this. He said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, and he said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Even in this moment, when Jesus is starting the Lord's Supper, he's trying to say this. He said, don't focus on what I'm giving you. Focus on what God is doing in you. Amen? Listen, church. Focus on what God is doing in you. How many times have y'all taken communion? 100 times? 1,000 times? 2,000 times? And every time we take it, we say, oh, do this in remembrance of me. And we think about what Jesus did. And we think about what this means. It's his body. It's broken for us. It's the body that we partake in. It's the blood that cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. It's the blood of Jesus that we consume, right? We got that all. And we think about what Jesus did. But can I ask you a question? What is God doing? What is God doing right now in you? If someone was to ask you that question, could you tell them? Could you tell them what God has been doing in your life? Which means, have you been watching what God is doing? The reason why I think God is so particular, because we like to focus on man instead of the hand of God. And if you focus on what man's doing, you will always be frustrated by man. But if you focus on what God's doing, then you will always follow God. And so here we are. We're going to take communion. Maybe. I think so. I think they ran to get it. Maybe. Got it? And as we pass it out, I want you to stop and think for a minute. This is one of the most precious things that the church can do, right? It's stopping. It's being blessed by God. It's remembering who he is. It's proclaiming who we are in him. Amen, church? I know the beignets are here. Don't get too excited. Right in the middle of service. Well, come on, guys. When you receive your sacraments, will you bow your head just for a minute? All right, if you don't have one, raise your hand. All right, there we go. Chase him down, Henry. Get it. We are all watching you, Henry. All right, we good, everybody? So here we go. What we're about to do is a very physical expression of who God is, of who we are. And I think it is so easy as believers to go through the motion and just do something because church is offering. But everything that God does, everything that he has asked us to do has spiritual benefits and spiritual reasons. And I believe that even when we take this, that God wants to do a spiritual work in our lives. So if you will, close your eyes. Let me ask you this question. What is God doing? What is God doing this morning? Why has he led you here? Why has he put that in your hands? Don't focus on the physical. Let God speak. Let God show you. This isn't about what your church is doing. This is about what God is doing. It's not about what you are about to do. It's about what God wants to do in you through it. That Jesus took bread, he blessed, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. So if we can do that this morning, church, if we take the bread, break it, and partake in it. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God. And he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Will you partake of that this morning? I love that last little bit because he says, I want you to partake of this, but God is doing something greater. He said, I want you to know and see what God is doing. He says, I won't even drink this again until I'm sitting with my Father. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to give this to you as a remembrance of what God is doing. Because I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go sit with my Father and just know that this story is not over, that God is continually working. Amen. And so we take this morning and we glorify Jesus and we say, thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross, but also thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for me on my behalf. Thank you, Lord, that I get to spend eternity with you in heaven. Amen. And we will watch and we will watch and we will watch and see that the Lord is good. Amen. God is working on your behalf. He promises, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will always be with you. I know the plans I have for you. You know the verses. And God says, watch, watch, watch. Amen, church. Let's pray. Lord, we choose this morning to fellowship in your name, to know who you are. And Lord, as we walk out of these doors, Lord, we are watching for you. Lord, we're watching, seeing how you're moving through our families. Lord, we hear you. We hear your words. It's not just words of man. It's not just words of some pastor or some friend who is encouraging us. Lord, you sent them. You gave. You provided. It's you. It's your goodness. It's your vision. Lord, you set us here. Lord, you showed us that you will always be there with us. So Lord, we promise that as we see you, as we see you move, as we see you provide, that Lord, as your believers and as your followers, Lord, that we will raise our hands and worship toward you. We love you. We will never be in a place where we are lacking encouragement when we watch what you're doing. Oh, we're thankful for what man does. We're thankful for the faithfulness of man. But God, I pray that even when we put our hands to be faithful towards you, that we realize that you provided what was put in our hands to be given in the first place. Lord, it was you. We love you so very much this morning. Thank you, Lord, for a blessed day. Thank you, Lord, for time in worship together. Lord, thank you for our time in fellowship. Lord, as we encourage one another, we look at each other in the eyes. Lord, we love on each other and we see what the Lord is doing. Lord, bless somehow, Lord, this morning, bless these beignets to be healthy to our body. That the river of flowing of powdered sugar, Lord, just is such a pleasure to us. You are such a good God. We love you so very much. Can somebody say, I love you, Jesus? And it's in that precious holy name that we pray and we celebrate. And the church said this morning, amen, amen, amen. So stand to your feet, go enjoy the day, and encourage someone on your way out. We love you.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.